The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma abad, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to our series of programs called Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And those of you that watch this program know that we delve into our rich past. Yes, the rich heritage that we have as Muslims. And we delve into our past, learn some lessons from our past, learn some lessons from our pious predecessors, learn some lessons from the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and obviously learn some lessons from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. So we learn from yesterday so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. And that is the purpose of this program, where we look at the events that took place and the lessons that we can learn from their lives. And I've said it many times before on Madani Channel that if anything has been passed down from generation to generation, in some cases up to 1400 years when it's the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it's been passed down for a reason. It's been passed down for a reason so that we can learn something from it. We can benefit from it. We can, you know, make a change in our life as a result of what we learn from the past. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about a great tabi from the generation of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he saw two noble companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting a durud pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has reported to have said that there is no Muslim who sends salat upon me except that the angels send salat upon him for as long as he does so. So it's up to the person whether he sends less or more. Allahu Akbar. So my dear Islam brothers, whilst you are sending durud pak, sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that angels are appointed to send salat upon us, send peace and blessings upon us. So whilst we are performing this good deed, the angels are sending salutations upon us. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And I've said it many, many times before, we need to make it part of our daily routine. Viewers of Mother Channel, lovers of the Ahle Bayt, Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala performed many miracles, and he was a great friend of Allah and a scholar of Islam as well. Today we're going to give you a little bit of an introduction into his life. And again, I've said it many times before that on these programs, on many programs, we just literally scratch the surface of these individuals. We cannot give you a complete biography of the events that took place in their life, the lessons that they passed down to us. And so the idea in these programs is that we become aware of these great personalities and we aspire up to them. We look at them as role models, and then we go away and find out who they are. Who are these great people? Read up on them. The books are there. The information is there. Go to www.dawatislami.net. Many booklets are there. Many books are there. The bayans are there. The speeches are there. The books are there. Read them books, and inshallah, you will find out who these great personalities are. Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah Ta'ala was born on the 17th of Rabiul Awal in the year 80 or 83 Al Hijri on the day of Monday. And he was born in the blessed city of Medina. He was also known as Abu Abdullah and Abu Ismail, where his title was Sadiq, Fadil and Tahir. He would always speak the truth, so he was known as Sadiq. He was exactly as his name suggested, and his actions reflected that too. The mother of Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq Karamatullah Ta'ala was Sayyidina Umme Farwa bint Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. His father's name was Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Bakr bin Ali Zain al-Abidin bin Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, meaning that Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala was Siddiqi from his mother's side of the family and Hussaini from his father's side. And as I mentioned earlier on, that this companion, this personality that we're mentioning, he was a tabi'i from the generation after the Prophet. He saw two noble companions, namely Sayyidina Anas bin Malik and Sayyidina Fa'al bin Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. His son, Sayyidina Imam Musa Qazim, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Sayyidina Sufyan Thawri, and Sayyidina Sufyan all took blessings from Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala. So this is the personality that we are going to try and find out a little bit about today. And he was a very humble person as well. A very humble person in the sense that even though he was related directly to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this great title. Despite being of this noble lineage, he was a very humble person. And it stated that on one occasion, the esteemed student, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala, i.e. Sayyidina Dawtai rahmatullah ta'ala, said to Imam Jafar that as you are from the Ahlul Bayt, give me some advice. Sayyidina Imam Jafar rahmatullah ta'ala, he remained silent. The student once again said to him, as you are from the Ahlul Bayt, Allah has bestowed blessings upon you, therefore it is necessary for you to give me advice. After hearing this, Allahu Akbar. After hearing this, Imam Jafar said that I myself am fearful that my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, takes my hand on the Day of Judgment and asks me as to why I did not follow him. Allahu Akbar. Salvation, he says, is not achieved through lineage, but through performing good deeds. After hearing this, Sayyidina Dawtai rahmatullah ta'ala, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa, he started crying. When the individual whose grandfather is the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is expressing this level of fear, then where do I stand? Where do I stand? Question for all of us viewers of my channel. Do we have that fear of Allah that we should have? And we're talking here about an individual that is not like me or you. He is the grandson of the Prophet of Allah. He is the great grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. He's a person who is known to be a friend of Allah. He's a person that was an ardent worshipper, and we'll mention that a little bit later. And people came to him, and we heard earlier on that he performed many miracles as well. Allah has already given the ability to perform these miracles. But with all of that in place, with all of that status that he still had that fear of Allah inside him. That on the Day of Judgment, he said that on that day when my grandfather grabs my hand, I, the grandfather being the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grabs my hand and says to me that, why did you not follow me? What will I say? What will we say on that day, viewers of my channel? When the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is presented before us, that when we are in that dark and lonely grave, and we are asked about the questions of the grave, and then when we are blessed with being able to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we are asked, well, what did you say about this person? And we don't know anything about him. We've never followed him. We've never adopted the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. We don't have that as part of our life. So if we don't have that as part of our life, we don't adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, then how will we be able to answer them questions in the grave? Because when we're in that grave, and the questions are asked, Man Rabbuka Ma Deenuka, what did you say? You know, these are the questions that you'll be asked, that at that time you won't be able to lie, so to speak. You won't be able to make up the answer. You won't be able to, even though you know the answer, I can tell you the answer now. But on that day, them answers will not come out. The truth will come out. That who did you worship? Man Rabbuka, who did you worship? I worship money. I worship status, I worship power, I worship all of these things, but I didn't worship Allah. My deenuka, what was the way of your life? How did you live your life? My deen is Islam. I live my life as a Muslim. Did you really? Did you really live your life as a Muslim? And like, I've used this example before that people nowadays talk about bucket lists. And for those of that you don't know, a bucket list is something where people make a list of things or places that they want to go before they pass away. So they say, you know, I want to be able to go to this place, I want to be able to have this house, I want to be have this car, I want to be able to drive this car, I want to be able to, whatever it is they put on that list. You know, it could be all sorts of things, climbing up a mountain, skiing, whatever it is, rock climbing, going into a jungle, driving this sports car, having this kind of house, having this much money in the bank, getting this position, getting this status, becoming the managing director, having a shares in a company, all these things that people put on their bucket list. Visiting this place in the world, going to that place in the world, all of these things that you put on the bucket list. Now, as I'm talking to you, I want you to, obviously I don't want you to go away now and get a piece of paper and write down your bucket list. But what would be on your bucket list? What sort of things would be on your bucket list? Would it be on your bucket list to achieve the pleasure of Allah? Would it be on our bucket list? Would it even be there? Would it be even something that we part as integral part of our life? Because as a Muslim, everything that we do should purely be for the pleasure of Allah. Surely, purely be for the pleasure of Allah. I went and we opened up a new Fazana Medina in Newport in Wales. And the Zimadar, the Nigran of that area, he travels every day from Birmingham to Newport. Well, not every day, but many days a week he travels there. And alhamdulillah, he's established there a masjid, and now there's going to be a madrasa as well. And as I went there, it dawned on me that this individual that has gone and opened up this Fazana Medina there, he's not going to read his salah there. His children are not going to go to the madrasa there. So why does he do it? You know, people, you know, when there's a project in your area, in your vicinity, where you live, and there's a masjid opening, then you all support that because you are ultimately going to benefit from it. You're going to have the facilities of the masjid there. But this particular Nigran, this Zimadar, this responsible person of Dawah Islami, he's not going to avail any of them facilities because he lives 100 miles away. So why did he do it? The pleasure of Allah. The pleasure of Allah. And that is something that we need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, where in our list of priorities, in our priorities in our life, where is the pleasure of Allah? Is it up there? It should be the number one all the time. Everything that we do in our life should be for the pleasure of Allah. And if it's not, then that's a big question mark on our lives. That's a huge question mark on our lives, that what kind of life are we living? We're not preparing for the afterlife. What kind of life are we living where we're not preparing ourselves for that time where we're going to enter that dark and lonely grave? What type of life are we living that we have no care, we have no fear of what's going to happen to us? Here we are seeing that Imam Jafar Sadiq, he had that so much fear in him. And yet everybody knew him as a pious person. Everybody knew him as a worshipper. Everybody knew him as a person that had the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in his heart. Yet he states that, how can I possibly advise you? When I'm scared, I have that fear inside me that on the day of judgment, my grandfather, the final messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, grabs my hand and asks me, why did you not follow me? Why do we not follow the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Why do we not worship Allah Azza wa Jalla in the way that He should be worshipped? Why do we not read our salah 5 times a day? Why do we not fast in the month of Ramadan? Why do we not pay the zakat that is due upon? Why do we not do these things? Because we don't have that fear inside ourselves. We all know we're going to die. But why have we not got that? The acknowledgement of the fact that we are going to be accountable. We all, you know, you've heard it many times. I've said it many times. All the Mubaliks on Madani channel will say it. The Imams in the masjid will say it. Everybody you meet, every book you will say it, you'll read it, and it'll say that you are going to be held accountable for your actions. So why is it not gone? Why are we not acted upon that? Why have we not accepted that? Why have we not put that in our minds and say, okay, what am I going to do about it? I think it's as if we have this false mindset that, you know what, I'll worry about it later. I'll put it on the back burner. I've got loads of time now. I'm only 20, I'm only 25, I'm only 30, I'm only 40, I'm only 50. And the older you get, The older you get, you still think that you're going to live forever, even though you're 60, you're 70, you're still, oh, I'm only 70, I'm only 80. Allahu Akbar. I don't have to tell you, you know, what is the age? If I was to ask you, what is the age that a person passes away? It's not like, you know, learning to drive in this country that when you get to the age of 17, you can learn to drive. And when you get to the age of this, I think it's 16 or 18, you can vote. 18, the age of 18, you can get married. So these are all fixed, you know, 16, 17, 18. These are the things that you can do when you're 16, when you're 17, when you're 18. These are the things you can do. At what age do you die? Don't know. Don't know. Nobody knows. There's no age there. There's no 16, 17. There's no 60, 70. There's no 80. There's no 100. There is nothing there. Death can come at any time. So why are we ignoring it? It's because we've not got that fear of Allah in our hearts. We've not got that acknowledgement that we are going to enter that dark and lonely grave. We've not got that acknowledgement inside ourselves. And this is why we keep on saying to you, when you go to the graveyard, look at the graves. Look at the graves. Look at the ages of the grave. Look at the empty graves. And ask yourself, looking at them empty graves. I remember recently I went to a graveyard. I don't remember where it was, but there was maybe 100 graves ready and dug. Normally many of the Muslim graveyards have two or three. This had 100 ready and dug. And I was looking around me at the community from that area and thinking to myself that these people that live here, there's a good chance that amongst the people that are here today, the graves are already dug for them. Not only that, this grave could be for me. And what are we doing right now? What a life are we living that we have that we don't have that fear inside ourselves? Look at the people of the past. Look at Sayyidina Imam Jafar Ahmadullah, that the fear that he had in his heart. That when he was asked to advise someone, and the person said to him that you are the relative, you are the Ahlul Bayt, you are this, you are that. You know, nowadays when people say to you know, you're a scholar, you are this, you're a Muballigh, you come on Madri channel, please advise, and all this sort of, yeah, okay, so what do you want to know? No. What do we see here? We see the humbleness inside him. We see the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla inside him. And that is something that we need to develop inside ourselves. Whether we're advised, asked for advice or not, that fear of Allah, that humbleness, that etiquette, that characteristic, we need to develop inside ourselves. Views on the channel, I think I've taken a little bit longer than I should have taken. Let's go to the first package of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah's last prophet, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, Allah likes sneezing. Sneeze is also called al-atsah in the Arabic language. Sneezing is a good thing. It clears the mind and refreshes the body. The first person to sneeze was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. When he sneezed, he recited, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah Almighty responded, I have created you for my praise. When you sneeze, keep these things in mind. Cover your mouth with a cloth or your hand. Try to make the sound as low as possible because raising your voice during a sneeze is not a good practice. While sneezing, also be cautious that the droplets from your mouth or nose do not fall on someone else. After sneezing, say Alhamdulillah or Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. If someone else sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, respond with Yarhamukallah, meaning may Allah have mercy on you. It is stated in Mira'atul Manaji, volume 6, page 316, that when someone sneezes and says Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal and runs the tongue all over the teeth, inshaAllah, he will be protected from dental diseases. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of Machan, just a little a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you sneeze, this is what you should say. And if you attach yourself to the environment of the Islam, you'll be able to learn the sunnahs. If you travel in the Madri Kafas specifically, when you travel for at least 3 days in the way of Allah, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, you'll learn the sunnah, you'll learn the faraiz as well. If you wish to travel in the way of Allah in anywhere in Europe, please let us know, or even in the UK, let us know and inshallah we'll get your contact details and we'll pass it on to the relevant brothers. Today, viewers of Madri channel, we're talking about Imam Jafar Sadiq, and he was directly related, a great grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like all of the pious predecessors, one of the things that he possessed which I can, as I'm talking to you, I cannot think of any pious predecessor that did not have this, is a good mannerism, an excellent mannerism. All of our pious predecessors, and this is why we call them our pious predecessors, is because of the characteristics that they had. And so your piety also is dependent on your mannerisms as well. Your piety is also dependent on your characteristics as well. And it said that he always had a smile on his face. He always had a smile on his face. A smile is a sunnah. Smile is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I remember, I think it was a couple of days ago, I was traveling on the motorway and I got out of my car and I was going to the service station. And there was a person, I presumed he was a non-Muslim, he was coming the opposite direction, and he saw me. And he saw me in this get-up. And I could see on his face, you know, that he just wasn't like happy, or he was a little bit cautious or something. It wasn't like, it wasn't fear, but I could see a little bit of caution in his face. So I smiled. And as soon as I smiled, he smiled back. And all of a sudden that caution, everything disappeared. And you know, this is why they say that smiling is a sadaqah. It is a sadaqah, it is a form of charity. Because when you smile, it reflects on the person in front of them, and it puts happiness in their hearts. So we should adopt this sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it stated that Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah, that when he heard the name of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he would cry. Then he would cry. And he would cry at a reverence and honor. And he would always be in a state of wuzu when he was narrating a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would busy himself in prayer and recitation. Otherwise, he would remain silent. It is stated that his speech was free from the mention of futile matters. And so, our speech, our futile speech, you know, useless speech. You know, we're sitting in gatherings nowadays. We're sitting with our friends, we're sitting with our relatives, and everyone's talking. And what happens is you get dragged into a conversation. Someone's talking about, I don't know, gossiping or something, or backbiting, or even slandering someone. And everyone's go, oh, sure, I didn't know. And, you know, being part of that conversation. And then what happens is when people start giving stories or telling jokes, or even the stories are exaggerated and they become lies, what happens is we do the same. I think, you know what? I'm sitting here quiet, nosy, and I've got nothing to say. I'm going to have to think of something, aren't I? Ooh, yeah. I'll mention that, but I'll have to add a little bit of spice to it. I'll have to make it a little bit more exciting. I'll have to do this and do that and add all these things. And all the spices that you're supposed to be happening, all those things that you're adding to the story, they're all lies. The exaggerations and the lies, and possibly you could be backbiting, slandering, gossiping about an individual. So while sitting in that gathering, by being part of that gathering, not only are you listening to these sins, but you're also taking part in them sins as well. So we see from our pious predecessors, I remember Granada Shura, when he came to the UK, he mentioned that he had read the biographies of many, many of our pious predecessors. And he said, one thing that you can guarantee that our pious predecessors did not take part in was backbiting. They never took part in the sin of backbiting. We're going to take another small break now. We're going to come to the kalam of the day. Inshallah, when we come back, we're going to talk about the ibadah, the worship of how Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq would worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's go to the kalam of the day, and when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai. Koi Yusuf se poochhe Mustafa ka husn kaisa hai. Ae jalwa-e jaanana, ae jalwa-e jaanana. آقا تو شمعِ رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہِ نبوت ہے اے جلوائے جانانا آقا تو شمعِ رسالت ہے تیرا کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے، جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے، ہر دل بن میں خانہ، ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانا، ہر دل بن میں خانہ، ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانا، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا، مر مر کے اسے پایا، گر پڑ کے یہاں پہنچا، مر مر کے اسے پایا، چھوٹے نہ الہی اب سنگے در جانانا، چھوٹے نہ الہی اب یا رب سنگے در جانانا، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، اے جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوائے جانانا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا، کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا، پانی ہے تیرا پانی، ہاں پانی، دانا ہے تیرا دانا، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، تو ماہ نبوت ہے، اے جلوائے جانانا، ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذوق تیری، ہر پھول میں بو تیری، ہر شمع میں ذوق تیری، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، پروانہ ہے پروانہ، بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل، ہاں بلبل، پروانہ ہے پروانہ، آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے، عالم تیرا پروانہ، جلوائے جانانا، اے جلوہ جانانا اے جلوہ جانانا وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ جلوائے جانانا سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری تاحشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ تاحشر رہے روشن ہاں روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ جلوائے جانانا اے جلوائے جانانا اے جلوائے جانانا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ viewers of Mother Channel you're watching yesterday today and tomorrow and in this program we're talking about Imam Jafar Sadiq and Sayyidina Imam Jafar rahmatullah ta'ala he was not only he had the knowledge of the deen but he also acted upon that knowledge he was very an ardent worshipper of Allah azza wa jal and Imam Malik rahmatullah ta'ala states that I would visit Sayyidina Imam Jafar rahmatullah ta'ala and I always saw him busy in one of these three worships Now, whenever he went and visited him, he would be doing one of these three things. He would either be praying, he would either be reciting the Quran, or he would be fasting. Allahu Akbar. And so we can see here that Imam Jafar Sadiq would always be busy in worship. Because when you are fasting, you are also worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, a question for us now before we go forward and I know sometimes I go off on tangents how often do we worship Allah how often do we read the Quran do we read our salah 5 times a day which is obligatory upon us do we fast in the month of Ramadan which is obligatory upon us and if the answer to both of them is yes then alhamdulillah it's a good start But then further on, how much of the Quran do we read? How much nafal ibadat do we do? Extra worship do we do in that? Fasting other than the month of Ramadan, reading the Quran, spending in the way of Allah. How much do we do? And again, it's because, viewers of Mother Channel, that we have prioritized our life to other things. That our sole purpose in life is other things. And this shaitanic whisper comes in our mind. You haven't got time to read the Quran. This shaitanic whisper comes in your mind, oh, you can't fast. You're busy. You need that cup of tea every day. You need to have that lunch. Where are you going to get that energy from if you fast now? When the month of Ramadan comes in the middle of the year, When you have the 19-hour, 20-hour fast in this country, in fact, 21-hour fast in this country, alhamdulillah, you are able to do it because it's obligatory upon you. But when it's the short fast, then all of a sudden the shaitanic whisper comes to us. You can't do it. You can't do it. Yeah. Reading the Quran, you haven't got time to read the Quran, you're a busy man. Yeah, you got the appointment at 9 o'clock, you've got to be there at 10 o'clock, you've got to be there at 2 o'clock, you've got to be there at 4 o'clock. You haven't got time to read the Quran. You haven't got time to read the whole part of the Quran. That's going to take a whole hour, it's going to take half an hour. Yeah, but it's only going to take 5. No, you even got 5 minutes. These are the shaitanic whispers that keep on saying to you that you haven't got time to do this. And we learn from the life of Imam Jafir Rahmatullah that he always stayed in a state of wudu. That if you're always in that state, then to read the Quran is easy because you're in a state of wudu, you pick up and you start reading. Because what happens if you're not in a state of wudu, then shaitan says, oh, you've got to go to the washroom, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, it's going to take 10 minutes, and then you've got to come out and you've got to dry yourself, and then you haven't got time. But if you make a habit of trying to remain in a state of wudu all the time, then reading the Quran will become easier for you. But it's just a whole shaitanic whisper that's stopping us. Shaitan is stopping us. So please, I request you now, that if you love the Ahl Bayt, if you love the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you love the pious predecessors, if you claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then follow in their footsteps. As Imam Jafar Sadiq said, rahmatullah ta'ala, he said that I am fearful that on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will grab my hand and said, why did you not follow me? The question that I'm asking is why are we not following the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now? We're going to take a small break now to the final package of the day, inshaAllah. And when we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more about the life of Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala. Let's take the final package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There are numerous blessings of reciting Salat and Salam upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam declared, Allah Almighty shall send 10 mercies upon whoever recites Salat upon me once. Shaykh Abu Abdullah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi explains, mercy refers to bestowed gifts. In relation to this hadith, Allah continuously confers gifts upon a servant in this world and the hereafter. Dear viewers of Madani channel, Qazi Abu Abdullah As-Sakaki rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi adds, a single mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is better than the world and all that the world contains. What can be said of a person upon whom Allah sends 10 mercies? How many problems and calamities shall he distance from this person, and how many blessings shall the latter attain from them? Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. A pious saint rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi further adds, a single mercy bestowed by Allah Azza wa Jal is sufficient for a person for every single matter of the world and the hereafter. Now imagine the state of that person upon whom Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 mercies. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani channel, you're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about a tabi'i, a person who met the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala. And nowadays, I want to share something with you. A lot of people use the word Sufi. Oh, Sufi, how are you, Sufi? Okay, Sufi? And we use this word, give it a title to everybody. Sufi, Sufi, Sufi. What is a Sufi? What is the definition of a Sufi? Sayyidina Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala states, the one who lives his life according to the apparent lifestyle of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is the one who acts upon the sunnah. The one who acts upon the internal spiritual lifetime of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is called a Sufi. When mentioning the internal lifestyle, Imam Jafar Sadiq rahmatullah ta'ala is referring to the good manners of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his choosing the hereafter. Therefore, whoever adopts good manners and chooses only that which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will choose, will undoubtedly acquire salvation. He must also adopt that which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed consistently. He must refrain from the things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam protected himself from. He must also carry those actions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to do. The one who digresses from the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instead consuming by fulfilling the lustful thoughts and desires of the nafs. He's not only far from being a Sufi, but he's foolish and negligent of the consequences of his actions. Allah, coming back to again, viewers of the channel, that, you know, how do we live our lives? You know, the whole purpose of this program yesterday, today and tomorrow is to let us know how our pious predecessors lived their lives. And when we look at the lives of pious predecessors, one thing that you need to keep in mind is that they were human beings like me and you. They had wants, they had needs, they needed to sleep, they needed to clothe themselves, they needed to house, they needed to bring up their families, they had to look after the wives, the children, they had to look after all them people. They lived in the same world that me and you lived in. It wasn't a different planet. But how did they live their lives? And I look back at the pious predecessors and I think to myself that what has gone wrong with us today? Why have we become so materialistic in this world? Why have we become so that we want this, we want that, we want all of these things and we're running after all of these things? Where in reality, what should we be running after? And it's because our focus has changed, viewers of the channel. I don't know if I've got enough time to explain this. I'll have a quick look. Our focus has changed. Ultimately, in our lives, we're all seeking peace. Now, when I say peace, it's that comfort. You want that comfort of you. Everyone's looking for comfort. Everyone's looking for peace. And what happens is some people are looking for comfort and peace in money. They think that if I have £1 million in the bank, I'll be able to chill. Some people are looking at it by having properties. If I have all these properties, I'll be able to chill. If I have this big business, I'll be able to chill. If I have a four-bedroom detached house, if I have this car, if I have this, all of these things we're saying to ourselves that this is why we're striving to get them. This is why we're working day and night. We're putting in them extra hours, putting in overtime, putting in all these things. Why? So that we can have a comfortable life. We can have a peaceful life. Speak to the millionaires. You see them, but they don't have peace. You know, they're surviving on sleeping tablets, a lot of these individuals. So they've not found peace. Speak to those people that live their lives according to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you see that in their lives they have peace. They might not have that four-bedroom detached house. They might not have that brand new 2024 model car or whatever it is that you're looking for. They may not have that koti, they may not have this, they may not have that, all of them things, but they will have that one thing that you are searching for, that one thing that you are striving for. And they have found it in how? In following the Quran, the teachings of the Quran, and the teachings of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you want that peace, if you want that tranquility inside yourself, then you need to ask yourself, am I running after something that's not going to make me achieve that? Now, I'm not saying to you, having that house, having that car, having all of them things is haram. No. But at the same time, will you find that inner peace? And that inner peace, viewers of the channel, can only be found in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, can only be found in following the teachings of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can only be found in reading the Quran and living your life how our Creator wants to live our life. Living our life by following the best of all mankind, the final messenger of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa, by following his teachings. Then inshallah, you'll find peace and tranquility in your lives. And until then, you'll be running around. You know, there's a saying in English, running around like a headless chicken, getting nowhere, not achieving anything. And this is why they say that the richest person in the world is he who is happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. And when you attain that state of mind, when you attain that state of mind that I'm happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me, that I'm happy with whatever I have got, and you worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, then inshallah Allah Azza wa Jalla, you'll find that inner peace. And that views of Mother Channel, I fear, is where a lot of us are going wrong, that we are got our direction wrong, we've got our bucket list wrong, we've got our priorities wrong, and that's where we need to change and reflect on our lives and see which direction we're going on. And before it's late, before it's too late, change the direction of our lives so we can find that inner peace and we can enter that dark and lonely grave in such a state that the questions of the grave are easy for us. We can cross the bridge of Sirat with ease, and inshallah we become amongst those fortunate individuals that are entered into paradise without accountability. Views of Mother Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Oh, yeah.